1 Samuel chapter 21, as we continue looking at our series, Summer with the Shepherd. This evening we're going to call it Learning to Lean. 1 Samuel 21, let's read 10 through 15, but I'm going to go back up and tell you kind of what happens in the early part of the chapter. I'm just going to read 10 through 15. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 21, begin reading in verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto servants, Lo, you see a man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? I have need of mad men that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Let me ask you to bow your heads. Let's pray and let's study the scripture this evening. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for a good Wednesday night crowd. Thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us this week with another opportunity to preach your word. Bless now as we open up your scriptures for a little while and see what we can learn today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This portion of scripture is very strange. We see this sweet singer of Israel. We see this giant killer, the man that was anointed king of Israel, who would be the greatest king of Israel that they've ever known. But now we see in our text, we find him floating around on the floor, foaming at the mouth like a madman. Now, as we enter 21, I'm going to share just a little bit of kind of where we are. As we enter 21, David is fleeing from Saul. Remember in our last study, Saul was out to kill David. God put an evil spirit. Yes, God put an evil spirit on Saul. And Saul was out to kill David. So beginning in chapter 21, you can read that later. He goes to a small village called Nob, the village of Nob, just north of Jerusalem. He encounters a priest named Elimelech. This was a very sleepy village. Not much went on. It wasn't defended. There wasn't any kind of armor. And it was a sanctuary for priests, basically, is what was happening. And as they saw David, they knew who he was. Of course they knew who he was. And they were surprised to see him there. But he put up a lie. You can read that later. He told them he was on a mission for the king, but that's not what the case was. He was actually a fugitive running for his life. Several other things happened. We see that he leaves Nob and he goes to Gath. Gath is the hometown of Goliath. And as he came to Gath, he had Goliath's sword because they gave it to him. So he gets to Gath, and they realized who he was, and David realized he was in danger. So then he starts to act crazy. I think there's some answers here that we can all learn from today. And what I want to get to, and this is important as we go through the rest of the study, we all have a well-developed support system. We all depend on people and things in our lives to help us get through life. We're guilty sometimes of leaning too heavily upon this support system. We're going to see that. But God didn't save us to rely solely on other people. Y'all with me tonight? God saved us to rely and lean on him. And we'll see that as we go along. I see this in David's life. The first thing I want to see is David's support system is developed. Up to this point, David had done everything right in his life. He'd been an absolute model of faith, courage, obedience, integrity. He devoted himself to God. All of these things was happening at a very young age. So we see he leaned on the support of the position. Back over in 1 Samuel chapter 18, just probably flip one page over, and we can read that verse in 1 Samuel 18, 13. 1 Samuel 18, 13. It says, "Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the cup, before the people." So we see that he leaned on the support of his position. David had been promoted. He was promoted from a shepherd boy. He was promoted to a captain of 1,000 in Saul's army. So he was leaning on the support of that position. Then we also see he leaned on the support of his popularity. As you continue going in 18, verse 16, he was a popular guy. Why? Because he had slain Goliath. The people saw something in David, and they respected him. He also leaned on the support of people. God placed some special people in his life. Now, after David killed Goliath, he was given a choice of Saul's daughters. And the partner that he chose was Michal, however you say it. And David was given this wife who generally loved him. No doubt David drew strength from her, but he was leaning on her support. Remember now, this is important. It was Saul's daughter. And then we see he leaned on the prince Jonathan. David's best friend was Saul's son Jonathan. I mentioned last week, as we looked in chapter 18, how this relationship has been perverted through the years. You know, they've perverted into something that it's not. Jonathan was David's eyes and ears in the throne room. Jonathan heard things about David and saw things. He leaned on him. He leaned on the prophet Samuel. The old prophet was his support system. He leaned on him. Y'all still with me? All right, we're gonna give you a lot of stuff here. Y'all just hang with me. I'll preach hard Sunday, I promise, and your toes will hurt when you leave. Probably not so much tonight. Okay, Shirley, is that all right? Okay, good. He leaned on the support of pride. David took pride in the life that he was living. But listen to me. We ought to stop right now and be thankful for what God's given us. Well, I stop right now, and I could not do, anytime I say this, I'll get in trouble when I get home, but that's all right. I cannot do what I do without my wife. She is my helpmeet. She is the one that listens to me when y'all make me mad and upset. She gets to hear all about how sorry y'all, no, I'm kidding. That was the last church. But she hears that. I couldn't do what I could do without her. Where would I be without our friends? Where would you be without your friends? We all have that close personal friend. Where would you be without the guidance of church? That's why I stress the importance of church. We need church in our lives. So be thankful for that. But now let's move on and let's see what's happened. David's support system is dismantled. The process of this dismantling was taking place, and it was going pretty quickly. David became a man hunted by his enemies, haunted by death, and hounded by destruction. Here's what happened. The first thing, David lost his position. 1 Samuel 19, 8 through 10. The captain of Israel's army, the greatest battlefield hero ever, became a fugitive, running from King Saul. That prop had been taken away. David lost his popularity. As one removed from the public eye, David was soon just a memory. Oh, David was just that kid that killed Goliath with a lucky shot. People probably assumed that Saul would be successful in his attempt to kill David. David lost his people. In 1 Samuel 19, in fact, let's flip over there. I want to read this. There's a whole message right here in 1 Samuel 19, 11 through 17. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." She's warning him of what's getting ready to happen. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with cloth. She was trying to cover up for him. And Saul sent messengers to get David. She said, he's sick. Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. But when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? So she was removed. She was gone from the picture. Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 20, verses 41 and 42. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. They kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. His friend was removed. Now that part right there where they kissed, that's where they perverted this whole situation. Let's back up. In that day, it was common for Daryl to walk up and kiss Marty. You notice I didn't say it. That was common. Upon the cheek. It was common. But see, they have taken that and perverted that. But Jonathan now had to part ways with his friend David. That crutch was removed. His friend Samuel, his old prophet friend Samuel, died. That was removed. And then in our text, David lost his pride. David was a proud young man. He'd done a lot of good in this world. He had killed Goliath. He was anointed king of Israel. But he goes into the palace and he senses there's trouble. So anytime I've ever thought there's trouble in my life, I'm going to get on the ground and act like a madman. Because that's what David did. David is filled with fear. Because remember, he's in the hometown of Goliath. He is fearing for his life. He is concerned and he is worried about what was happening. So we see the purpose. Why was God doing this? Remember, God refers to David as a man after his own heart. He knew in order to get David's full and undivided attention, he had to remove these crutches from his life. He had to do that to teach David this great truth of leaning on him and wholly leaning upon the Lord. He had to remove those things. Be careful, first of all, who you trust. Be careful. Be careful who you talk to. Be careful who you vent to. Because sometimes you vent to somebody and that person is going to go vent to somebody else. Y'all hearing me? Be careful. My pastor used to always say, get you a cabinet of counselors that you trust. Lean on them. I have that. Any decision that I've made about moving this church or doing whatever, I consult that group. I consult them. I talk with them. We pray together. But be careful. But you see, there's some thoughts here. Our support system can develop to the place where it takes the place of God in our lives. The first thing, listen to me, church. This is a lot, Jay. This is a whole lot for you, brand new. Just hang on to it. Just hang on to it. Mary, you and Philip, help her. Y'all help her. This is a lot to take in. Some of y'all are going, huh? But y'all been saved a long time. But listen to me. Sometimes our support system can take place of God. The first thing you do, don't call somebody. The first thing you do, don't go see somebody. The first thing you do is you pray. Lord, I need some answers. I need some wisdom. Lord, help me find. And then what God does, what he's done in my life, is he puts people in my life that's been through what I'm going through. And Sue, they know exactly what to tell me because they've been with God. They've prayed and they sought God. Our support system can prevent us from looking up for the help. It's easy to say, hey, I need some advice. That person gives you advice and you just go with it. No, pray. First thing you do when you're making any kind of decision, pray. Ask God what he'd have you do. Then seek that cabinet of counselors and see if their advice lines up with what God says. And if it doesn't, say, thank you, I'm good. Y'all with me tonight? It's heavy. I know it's heavy, but y'all handle it. But nothing cripples our walk of faith any more than earthly human crutches. Our support system is temporary at best. Every plank in our support system can fail. If we learn to lean on God solely, totally, this is what David is trying, or God is trying to teach David. And number three, David's support system is declared. I want you to flip over. I should have already told you this. Turn over to Psalm 34. Turn over to Psalm 34. Shouldn't be that hard, Psalm 34. This is the chapter that he is writing and the psalmist is putting down on paper during what he's facing right now. Psalm 34. A lot of times the book of Psalms is very personal, really just about all the times. I'm not going to go through this entire chapter. It's 22 verses. I'm not going to do that. I want to hit some highlights. David's support system is declared. David learned to lean solely on the Lord. He learned this valuable, valuable lesson. First of all, he learned to lean on the Lord's praise. Look in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. He learned to lean on the Lord's praise. The focus of David's praise has been shifted upward. Y'all hearing me tonight? Shifted upward. Psalm 86:10 says, for thou art great and does wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He learned to lean on the Lord's protection. Look in verses 4 through 7. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. He learned to lean on the Lord's protection. Instead of running to Jonathan, instead of running to these others, God showed him, I need to lean on God. Isaiah 54:7 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He also learned to lean on the Lord's provision. Verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they seek the Lord. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He learned to lean on God's provision. He learned to lean on God's promises. 11 through, we're going to wind up reading the whole thing, so let's just do it. 11 through 17. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be a contrite spirit or crushed in spirit. He leaned on the Lord's promises. There's a lot of promises in this psalm. You need to read it. You need to look at it. You need to study it. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." In verse 18, we read that, but that takes us to the next one. He learned to lean on the Lord's presence. Listen to me. There's not a day goes by in your life when the presence of the Lord is not with you. Listen to me. There's a lot of other denominations that think otherwise. I'm thinking not Baptist, I'm thinking biblically. My Bible says my Lord is always with me. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to get blessed 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 14 times. No. The Lord said, "I will never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee." Learn to lean on his presence. Are y'all still with me? Hadn't lost you yet. He learned to lean on the Lord's preservation. Let's just finish the chapter out. Verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trusted him shall be desolate." In the end, not a single crutch that David leaned on so heavily would have been able to secure him and protect him. He learned to lean on the priceless, eternal truth of God. And that's what I want you to get above anything else. Learn to lean on God. Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." The leaning business hits close to home. There are plenty of times when I want to lean on myself. I've got some good ideas every once in a while, Lord. How about using some of my ideas? This is conversations that the Lord and I have. You say, "You're crazy." Yeah, I am. Lord, this study of Gideon, let's just think about that. 4 weeks I put together last summer. I've yet to preach it. He won't let me. I guess I just need to study Gideon. One day I'm going to preach it. Things like that that he and I discussed. We don't argue. You don't argue with God. It's like arguing with your wife or your mama. You ain't going to win. It matter. Ouch. But sometimes, I say, "Lord, I've got some good ideas." And the Lord will say, "Yeah, but my idea is a whole lot better. My idea is a whole lot better. My idea, my thoughts, my ways." But God has a way of getting our attention. God has a way to show you where you are and where you should be. I'm not going to tell you what I'm preaching on Sunday morning, because some of you may not come. It's not a 4th of July flag waving, "We love America" sermon. It's not. It's out of Hebrews. And it's hurt me to death all week. But you know what? I want you to understand how important it is to lean. There was a fella named John Stallings wrote this song, and he said, "Sad, brokenhearted, at an altar I knelt. I found a peace so serene. And all that he asked is a childlike trust and a heart that's learning to lean." Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let me ask you this question. You know, sitting in here, whether you're leaning or not. And leaning is putting your entire weight upon somebody. God is so strong. Because he can feel my leaning. He can feel your leaning. He has some big old shoulders. I don't know how he does it. But he knows when I'm leaning, and he knows when you're leaning. He wants us all to be leaning upon him. It's important to understand, yes, you need to have that cabinet of counselors, those friends and that family that helps you, that gives you direction and wisdom. But if it's not from the Word of God, remove them off your cabinet. Don't take advice from somebody. I love to get on a bunch of videos on social media of people telling me how to live life as a Christian that have no idea what they're talking about. I love that. It cracks me up. I'm thinking, okay, this guy here is smoking something. I think I'm probably going to mention this Sunday, but I'll mention it. There's people that say, oh, I can be a Christian out in the woods. Yeah, you sure can. I can be a Christian on the boat. Yep, you sure can. I can be a Christian anywhere. Yep, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is everywhere. But if you're truly saved, hear me out. You will want to be in God's house, not out in the woods on Sunday. Huh? That's just the way it is. And I'm wanting to say, can I call this guy and tell him what a goofball he is? No, coming to church doesn't make anybody a Christian. Just like walking in a garage doesn't make you a car. But if you're saved, you hear me? You will want to be in church. You will want to read your Bible. You will want to do those things. Say, preacher, I've got some crutches. Maybe it's time to throw them down. Maybe you've been leaning on too much and too much of the world and too much of friends that don't have a clue what they're talking about. When you have some good, godly Christian friends, hang on to them. We've got some. They're about 600 miles from here. We're going to go meet them in a few weeks and celebrate some birthdays. But I can call on them anytime. They can call on us anytime, and we can pray over the phone. I've done it. They moved into their new house a couple of years ago, and some lesbians owned it. She said, I want you to pray with me. So she was, now this is just the way our relationship is. She's a goofball. But she was walking. She had me in her pocket, and she was walking through the rooms, and I was praying for each one of those rooms, for God to bless them and God to help them. That's the kind of friendship that we have. You get a good Christian friends, hold on to them. Paula, you got some good ones. Serta, you got a couple good ones. Hold on to them. Hold on to them. They're important because they're going to help you. They're not going to try to do something against the Word of God. And that's what we're talking about, leaning on the Lord. Now, this is important as we go forward in this study, because David's getting ready to hit rock bottom. He's getting ready to hit rock bottom. We're going to find him basically rock bottom, but he'll learn. And all God is doing is teaching him some lessons. Some of us, I can't speak for anybody but me, some of us learn best the hard way. Some of us learn best the hard way, and that's kind of where we are with David. Let me ask you to bow your heads before we go into our time of prayer. Thank you for listening. Wednesdays is more teaching than it is anything else, and I want you to walk through this with us. I want you to hear it. If you have questions, see Jason. He's a master at this book. They're doing through it on Sundays. Any other questions about Saul and the evil spirit and about Jonathan and David? Him and Caleb has all the answers. But seriously, they're going through this book and 2 Samuel, and we're talking back and forth about how what a good book this is. Let me ask you, right there where you're sitting. Say, preacher, I just need you to pray for me. Nobody's looking but me and God. We're praying. Say, Lord, preacher, pray for me. There's a hand. Anybody else? There's some hands. There's some hands. There's some hands all over God's house. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we love you. And we thank you for what we're learning and what we're seeing here with David. He was learning some valuable lessons, and we're going to learn right along with him. Lord, thank you for the support system that I have in my life. I couldn't do what I do without my family. I couldn't do what I do without our closest and dearest friends. I couldn't do it. There's no way. I thank you for the leadership that I've had in my life with pastors and teachers that have showed me and helped me and pointed me not to their advice, not to their opinions, but to the Word of God. Lord, all these hands that have went up tonight, there's some people that need prayer. And Lord, they know this, but every single day I go through these pews either physically or in my mind, and I pray for them by name. I want you to do something in each of these lives. The devil may be on them, Lord, and I just pray they resist the devil. Because the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from them. But a lot of times what happens is we get in our own way, therefore we're in your way. So help us, Lord, to let you have full rule and reign in our lives. And help us to lean totally upon you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.